Systematic Theology from Boston University. In spring 1963, King nonviolent tactics were put to their most severe test in Birmingham, Alabama, during a mass protest for fair hiring practices and the desegregation of department stores. Police brutality used against the marchers dramatized the plight of African Americans to the nation at large with enormous impact. Established in 1968 by Mr. Coretta Scott King, the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change has been a global destination, resource center, and community institution for over a quarter century. Nearly a million people each year make their way to the National Historic Site to learn, be inspired, and pay their respect to Dr. King's legacy. On January 20 of 1986, the night before the first national celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Ms. King spoke about her husband and the King Center.
The dreams on which the center is based are bigger than any one of us, yet an integral part of all of us. And so, like all meaningful dreams, the center will endure. The center will always respond to realities, basing its programs on the needs, aspirations, and the aspirations of humankind. It will always stand ready in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. to work through programs that, in a clear, comprehensive, and challenging way, use principles of nonviolence in changing lives in social, economic, and political systems. The center is dynamic and in motion, and like this year's theme, is actively helping those who wish to live the dream and saying to all of us that we must not just talk about the dream, we must every day engage ourselves in living the dream. And I say to you tonight that we are challenged at the center to dream like Martin Luther King Jr., impossible dreams, and like Martin Luther King Jr., work untiringly for the fulfillment of those dreams. I can tell you the story of the center has been an impossible dream, and I'm sure Mrs. Ferris can attest to that fact. And as someone said today in our board meeting, I believe it was our chairman, he said, somehow, we don't know how, but somehow, maybe it was Lloyd Davis, our executive director of the Holiday Commission, and Mr. Hill, but there's been something very special about this holiday experience. And there have been so many things that have come together, despite the fact that we've not had the funds, the resources to mobilize a nation as large and as diverse as our nation is. But somehow people got the message, and they went on and organized themselves. It was a great example, Mayor Young, of grassroots organizing. I think I'm qualified to know because I have experienced it during the 30 years of involvement in the civil rights movement. And I can believe, and I hope you share this feeling with me, that it's not going to stop now. The bullet in Memphis could not stop Martin Luther King's spirit. Because what he stood for was based on love, an enduring force, and truth that will always prevail in the long course of history. And I want to say to you, you tonight, let us continue to walk together, to struggle together, to pray together, to keep on living the dream together. Yes, we can achieve the beloved community of which Martin dreamed and which was the essence of that vision he shared with this nation. The dream is in our hands. What will we do with it? Here in the King Center, we will keep on living it. We will keep on working. We will keep on and keep on and keeping on until America, our nation, the great nation that we love, will be transformed truly into that oasis of justice and freedom and equality for all of God's children. Thank you. God bless.
In 1957 in New Orleans, seeking to build upon the success of the Montgomery bus boycott, and with the hope of upgrading the status of Southern blacks and America's poor, King summoned together a number of black leaders to lay the foundation for the organization now known as the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC. King was elected his first president and he soon began helping other communities organize their own protests against discrimination. The Honorable Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta and U.S. ambassador, was one of King's most trusted advisors.
Looking back on it, we think of those as the best days of our lives. Actually, at the time, it was...
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
same old way. Think about the love that burns within my heart for you, the good times we had before you went away. Oh, me, walk right back to me this minute. Bring your love to me, don't send it. I'm so lonesome every day. I want you to tell me why you walked out on me. I'm so lonesome every day. I want you to know that since you walked out on me, nothing seems to be the same old way. Think about the love that burns within my heart for you, the good times we had before you went away. Oh, me, walk right back to me this minute. Bring your love to me, don't send it. I'm so lonesome every day. I'm so lonesome every day. I'm so
take my way, that's the highway, that's the bend. I get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. I get your kicks on Route 66. City looks up so pretty, you'll see Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Nona, make some Moscow, St. Bernardino. I want you to get hip to this kind of tip and go take that California trip to get your kicks on Route 66. So pretty, y'all see Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Nona, Big Sam, Moscow, St. Bernardino. Would you get him to this kind of trip and go take that California trip? Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, get your kicks. Thank you.
got flowers in the spring. I got you to wear my ring.
Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts, ladies and gentlemen.
When I wake up, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's waking up with you. And when I get up, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's getting up with you. If I get wild, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's getting wild with you. And if I haver, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles before I'm at your door. When I'm working, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And with the money, for it's for the work I do, I'd spend almost every cent on you. When I go out, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going out with you. And when I go, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going over you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles before I'm at your door. I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, you know I'm gonna dream about the time that I'm with you. When I go out, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going out with you. And when I come home, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's coming home to you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
Stop my heart from loving you. If you love somebody enough, you'll follow wherever they go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. If you love somebody enough, you'll go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. I know if you've seen her, you tell me, 'cause you are my friend. I've got to find her and find out the trouble she's in. If you tell me that she's not here, I'll follow the trail of her tears. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. She would get mad and she used to say that she'd come back to Memphis someday. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. I haven't eaten a bite or slept for 3 days and nights. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. Well, I've got to find her and tell her that I love her so. I'll never rest till I find out why she had to go. Thank you for your precious time. Forgive me if I start to cry. That's how I got to Memphis. 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 That's how I got to Memphis.
Hey, kids. It's Krusty the Clown. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. All right, where's my money? What? Chintzy College Station.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Stay, but now she gone.
to fall. I had to take my Christmas and my overhaul. But now she gone, and I don't worry, because I'm setting off.
I want I'm 11.
Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts, ladies and gentlemen.
When I wake up, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's waking up with you. And when I get up, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's getting up with you. Get wild, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's getting wild with you. And if I haver, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles before I'm at your. Working hard for you, and with the money, for it's for the work I do, I'd spend almost every cent on you. When I go out, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going out with you. And when I go, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going over you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles before I'm at your door. When I'm lonely, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. When I'm dreaming, well, you know I'm gonna dream about the time that I'm with you. When I go out, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's going out with you. And when I come home, well, you know I'm gonna be the man who's coming home to you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
Tell myself I'm but I always end up tearing it in two. I can't stop my heart from loving you, although you treat me badly and make me blue. I try and try, I really do, but I just can't stop my heart. Stop my heart from loving you, though you treat me badly and make me blue. I try and try, I really do, but I just can't stop my heart from loving you. I can't stop my heart.
Somebody enough, you'll follow wherever they go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. If you love somebody enough, you'll go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. I know if you've seen her, you tell me, 'cause you are my friend. I've got to find her and find out the trouble she's in. If you tell me that she's not here, I'll follow the trail of her tears. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. She would get mad and she used to say that she'd come back to Memphis someday. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. I haven't eaten a bite or slept for 3 days and nights. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. Well, I've got to find her and tell her that I love her so. I'll never rest till I find out why she had to go. Thank you for your precious time. Forgive me if I start to cry. That's how I got to Memphis. 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 That's how I got to Memphis.
Hey, kids. It's Krusty the Clown. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. All right, where's my money? What? Chintzy College Station.
Up above my head,
up above my head,
I hear music in the air,
I hear music in the air.
Now up above my head,
up above my head,
you know
head.
I hear music in the air,
I hear music in
the air. Well, I woke up this morning and I said to myself, sir, we should really do a show today. There's a lot going on. And so here we are. That's the context in which today's program is being produced. One programming note, dozens of people writing to me breathlessly. You could tell, even though it was written text, that people were breathless, saying, David, when is your Lex Fridman appearance coming out? I don't know the answer, but Lex said it would be 3 or 4 days from when we filmed it earlier this week. So I would guess by the end of this week, but I don't know, and I don't have any control over it. But I'm as eager to take a look at it as some of the other folks in the audience are. So we'll know about that very, very soon. All right, listen, I've been waiting for this, and it is now happening. Republicans, right-wingers, MAGA types, Steven Crowder, and others are now coming after what we call no-fault divorce, which essentially translates to they want to force women to have to stay married unless they can give what some consider an acceptable reason for why they should be allowed to get divorced. What on earth am I talking about? Let's backtrack and let's set it up. I had no plan to talk about right-wing content creator Steven Crowder's divorce on the podcast. There's really just no reason to talk about it. I don't know. There's nothing particularly newsworthy about it, except when I watched his brief explanation of the personal trouble that he's having, and including this very contentious divorce, he seemed to sort of bemoan the fact that his wife can just say, hey, I want a divorce, and it's called no fault divorce. You don't have to prove that someone cheated or whatever to justify the divorce. You're just allowed to say, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. And in the video that Steven Crowder put out about this, he seemed to be sort of suggesting that that's a problem, that that's not okay. His wife maybe should be forced to stay married to him. And he's not the only one who feels this way. Let's take a listen. This is the video from, I guess now it's been about a week since this news broke, to the extent that it's news.
I have been living with a proverbial boot on my neck for going on years now. Since 2021, I've been living through what has increasingly been a horrendous divorce. Now, let me say on the outset, to be clear, there is no infidelity, any kind of physical abuse at all on either side. And no, this was not my choice. My then wife decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. And in the state of Texas, that is completely permitted.
It's permitted. It's allowed. As crazy as it is, you're just allowed to say, I don't want to be married anymore. And I can't control that. So this is now building into a bigger story. And there's a very interesting Rolling Stone article. The next front in the Republicans' war on women, no-fault divorce. Steven Crowder is part of a growing right-wing chorus calling for an end to modern divorce laws. And the article explains, and you can check it out, Steven Crowder is getting a divorce. He says it's not his choice. He says his wife is just allowed to do it. And the article says Crowder's emphasis on the state of Texas makes it sound like the Lone Star State is an outlier, but all 50 states and the District of Columbia have no-fault divorce laws on the books, laws that allow either party to walk away from an unhappy marriage without having to prove abuse, infidelity, or other misconduct. Republicans are now unsure whether this is something that they actually want. And the article goes on to say, like the crusades against abortion and contraception, making it more difficult to leave an unhappy marriage is about control. Crowder's home state could be the first to eliminate it if the Texas Republican Party gets its way. Last year, the Republican Party of Texas added language to its platform calling to an end to no-fault divorce. This is another way to potentially control women. That's what this is fundamentally about. No-fault divorce is a legal process, which basically just means you can end a marriage.